I read the word. 1 Corinthians 11:23. 1 Corinthians 11:23. Amen. Normally I get this passage of scriptures for Easter, right? But the Lord, when he laid 1 Corinthians chapter 11 on my heart, I didn't understand it at first until I got here. Amen. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen?
Amen.
I like to use as my title, "Do Everything in the Remembrance of Jesus." Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your anointing will fall as it already has. Father, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, over our hearts tonight, over our minds tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, that those that need breakthroughs, you'll give it to them, Lord. I pray, Father, that those that are under the sound of my voice, Lord, as we begin to minister the word, Lord, as we begin to send praises up to you, Lord, let your blessings and your correction and your instruction, let it come down. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will have your way in our hearts and our minds. Let whatever is not of you, Father, fall on deaf and dumb ears. I pray, Father, the element of flesh be removed, Lord, so that you can get your glory. I pray, Father, that you will have your way, Father, in this service, this day, this hour, today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you. And everybody say once again,
amen.
Amen. Thank you all. You may be seated. When you go to work, do it in remembrance of Jesus.
Amen.
When you coach football, do it in the remembrance of Jesus. When you do your artwork, do it in the remembrance of Jesus. See, when you remember everything, it's all pointed towards Jesus who sits on the throne. Then your heart and your mind will always line up, and then God can bless you in it. See, don't get quiet on me now. You see, when everything is done in remembrance of Jesus, then you understand that he's the one that makes things move. When you do it all in his name, then you understand that he's at the helm and the boat don't float if the Lord is not in the position to make it move. Hallelujah. Do everything in the remembrance of Jesus. And when I read that particular passage of scripture, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." He was speaking of the breaking of the bread, which is symbolic of the word of God, and the shedding of his blood, which the blood was given as an atonement for our sin, right? He says, always remember that, but I had to go a little bit further and just say, do everything in the remembrance of Jesus. You see, there's no Sister Yolanda in here telling you to stand up and stick your chest out if it wasn't done in the remembrance of Jesus. You see, there's no Steve in the back if it wasn't done in the remembrance of Jesus. My family wouldn't be in church today if we wasn't doing it in the remembrance of Jesus. You see, sometimes we forget that Jesus needs to be at the helm. You see, we read these scriptures where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Why do you think we read those scriptures? It's because he's reminding you to do everything in his name. He's reminding you when you put your feet to the pavement, the first thing that you need to seek is him. We get up and we do a lot of things on our own without the Spirit of God. But the Lord is trying to change that mode as we move into revival. Amen. You see, when you move in revival and everybody is active, you need to remember to always keep Jesus at the helm so that it can keep going.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody say praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. So, if you look at where God is going, you can take this as a warning, right? We've been here before, right? I'm not trying to dampen the Spirit of God. I'm not trying to take the excitement away. I want to encourage it to keep moving, right? But see, I'll be a liar if I stand up here and don't say that it's going to be challenged, right? The devil don't like a bunch of praying soldiers that's believing in God for a miracle, for a sign, and for a wonder. He doesn't like that. He doesn't enjoy that. That's not something that he wants to see. Amen? So when you go back and you look at all the lessons that have been taught over the last several months or so, right? maybe a month or so, I was in the sanctuary, the children were in here, or the kids were in here, and I remember speaking that word prophetically that I believe revival is going to come through our children. Yes. Right? Yes. This is what you always have to remember. When the word comes forth, then the weapon starts forming.
Yes, that's right.
When the word is given, the weapon starts forming immediately. Now see, the Bible says that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Amen. But see, that's when you know that Jesus is at the helm and you keep remembering him in the situation. But you can lose and you can fall if you don't move, if you don't stick close to Jesus, the weapon will prosper.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Then when you look at what happened after the fact, I preached, I spoke that word over the children. Then Brother Eric came in, he says, don't be afraid. Don't always speak your truth. Don't be afraid to be used. Sister Dawn comes back and she starts talking about how she overcame fear to speak and overcame fear to be the evangelist that God was calling her to be. And then coming up to Sister Stephanie's lesson, the 4-week, the 4-part about communication, right?
Yeah.
So now you have communication that's in the equation. And I'm so glad that the Lord moved her in that facet. And on top of that, I'm glad how the Lord always adds to what he's doing, right? See, Brother Eric said this is going to be an exciting service, but the Lord showed me that we was here before there was ever a pure apostolic works before, right? See, the last church that I came in, and I'm just going to put it out there, right? When I came into the church, it was exciting just like this. We had fun, right, didn't we? It was fun. Church was fun. Oh, man, we love to get to church.
1835?
Logan. You see, some of them remember them good days. 1835?
Logan.
Yeah. There was some good days, right? Because the church, boy, we running around, we having fun, we having a blast. People getting baptized in Jesus' name, right? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody going home, ooh, can't wait to get to church. Oh, don't forget about men's retreat, right?
Right.
Ladies retreat.
Right.
We couldn't wait to get to them, oh, right? They didn't even like us. We go up in there with jerseys and all kinds of things, you know? We was a whole different group, right? Sometimes we might be getting into a fight from time to time at some of the retreats, but we sure love getting up there to them, right? We said one of the retreats, racist dude slams Jonathan on his head. Remember that? Was it you or Drew? It was Jonathan. I said, we ain't gonna smash him. We gonna pray for him, right? Because Pastor Marquise is still hood there. Jonathan, don't even do it. You know, they was young men. They coming into their own. He's like, what? See, instead of calling us N-I-G-G-E-R, see, the A, we know you've been around black folks. I just have to throw that out there. But he couldn't use that word because we were Christians. So instead, he called them, you guys are nothing but a bunch of Baptists. I said, we know what he wanted to say, but we ain't going to smash on him today. We just going to have church up here. We went into that church and we had a revival. And we might have looked different. We might not have fit into that current mold that was there or that look, because we looked completely different. We were different than them. We didn't act like them. We had the same Holy Ghost and the same Spirit as them, but we weren't just like them, right? But we went in there, we had such a good time, and every year we remembered. But see, this is the thing. We come back down off that mountain excited. We share our testimonies. The ladies, too, it was a powerful sermon, right? We hear some of the greatest preaching that the world could ever hear, because it was some powerful preachers at those meetings, right? It was some powerful words, man. Some of that stuff I still got notes from, and I'll go back and I'll read it. It was that powerful, it was that impactful, right? So we come back down, we're excited, man. Everybody's together, everybody is united, right? But then, you see, the devil doesn't like it, and then the weapon starts forming. There's words of prophecy that's given, then the weapon starts forming. Amen. You see, you can't go and move forward in a revival and forget that the weapon is forming.
Yeah.
You have to remember that just as quick as the blessing is poured out, it can be removed just as fast, depending on where you put Jesus at in your situation or in your life. Amen.
Yeah.
That was a weapon. But we back.
Amen.
So we come down, had a beautiful beautiful time. Love going to church, love worshiping, love my brothers. You bring people into that environment. They get baptized, they get the Holy Ghost, and so on and so forth. And then something called ambition sets in, which I'll let you know what that means here in terms of the scripture when I get into my scriptural reference, right? Ambition sets in. Everybody wants to be close to the pastor. Everybody wants to form these little cliques or these little groups predicated on how comfortable you are with who's around you. If they look like me, if they talk like me, then they act like me, then they can be around me. Yeah, don't look at me like that. Then they can be around me if they good enough or if they soft enough or whatever. We start formulating these opinions as to how Christians and how people are supposed to look in order for them to rub shoulders with us, right? So what happens is this ambition infiltrates the church. And now we don't have people staying together. We don't have people working together. Now we have a bunch of cliques and groups, and you have them, and then there's us. As a matter of fact, the day or the last days that we was there, there was a tongue and an interpretation that was given, and Brother Jonathan gave the interpretation. Do you remember that? And then when he gave the interpretation, he said, there's a line that's drawn in the sand, there's an us and there's a them. It's not supposed to be like that when it comes to the church.
That's right.
Yeah. Conversations started happening. People started being torn down. It was no longer a safe environment, and the revival was torn. I got to a place where we went from being excited in the church to be fighting in the back just to thrive in the church and to stay alive in the church. My joy turned to, Lord, these people don't love me here. Lord, I'm fighting to stay alive in the church. The only people that love me is the ones that I was born into. The people that I spent time pouring into was the only ones that were showing me love so that I could stay alive, so that I could survive. I'll be in the back of the church and I'll be crying. I'll be like, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. They don't love me here. It seems like everything that I try to do that's right, somebody is tearing it back down because they don't understand. You see, it ties right back into what Sister Stephanie was saying. The communication was gone. There was communication that was being had, but everybody was formulating their own truth, but they didn't know anything about me. I went home one day, my wife says, you know what, you're like the biggest misunderstood person that I know. And let me tell you something, that revival that was supposed to happen in that day and time, when the weapon was formed and the division came in, is still divided into this day. There's people there that are afraid to talk to us, and that's not supposed to be, it's not supposed to be like that. But see, it didn't stop there. You see, when I was fighting to stay alive in the church and I needed love, I hope I'm preaching to somebody right now. When I was fighting to stay alive and I needed love and I needed my people and I needed my brothers and my sisters that the Lord had entrusted me with, they all turned their back on me except a few good people. The one that showed me the love was Brother Eric. Brother Eric loved me no matter what. The Lord began to heal me through my brother. But see, the weapon was so strong that even that wasn't good enough for them. They had to attack that too. So the Lord uprooted him and moves him out, and I'm still in the back fighting to stay alive spiritually. But guess what? The word revival was prophesied over that church.
That's right.
The revival was prophesied there. And then the Lord began to show me this. He says, listen, everything that is a pillar of division, he has to uproot and remove it because God will not allow a church to... It has to be removed. I gotta remove pillars of division because it's not conducive to growth, and the Lord don't work against himself.
That's right.
Several weeks later, the Lord granted my request. He uproots us and he moves us. I try to go to another church. They said, you can't come here. We wasn't welcome. See, some of you don't know this story, right? We wasn't welcome because of our relationship with your pastor. That's how strong that weapon was. That weapon not only stayed in this church, it went to other churches, and they wouldn't allow us to come. And before anybody would hear that all I want to be is loved, and I keep getting broken down. And every time I go somewhere, they say, you can't come here. And I'm like, man, where am I supposed to go if I'm going to heal and I'm going to survive? And I can't sit under somebody that does not love me. Then the Lord says, I didn't call for you to sit no more. You've been sitting too long. You've been sitting too long. You see, when you look at that scripture as I dive into it, what ultimately happened with the old church that I was in was that we start remembering what the church was really for. We start remembering what it was all about. We start remembering that Jesus was the bread of love and he was the word manifested in flesh. And we start believing and start remembering that he shed his blood on behalf of me and everybody else. You see, the greatest lie from hell is to make you think that the church ain't for everybody and that is just for you. The church is for everybody.
Yes.
It's for everybody.
Yes.
But see, we have this thing where we get to it and we start personalizing and owning everything. Let me dive into my scripture so I don't get ahead, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 6-17, he says, but in giving this next instruction, I don't praise you because when you met together, it's not for the better, it was for the worse. Amen? So Paul, right off the bat, before we even get to the Lord's Supper, he's telling them, listen, I'm not going to praise you for being divided. I'm not going to praise you when you're not on the same page. I'm not going to praise you. I'm not going to bless your household, husbands and wives, if you're not on the same page. I'm not going to bless your ministry if you're not on the same page. Am I preaching to somebody right now? You see, Paul saw the division in the church, but they was looking to be praised and worshipped about where they were because you had a bunch of people who got high and mighty, and they start clicking up, and they start looking at everybody else like they didn't fit, like they didn't belong.
Hallelujah.
And Paul says, you want me to praise you and give you worship and give you kudos for that? No, it doesn't work like that, right? I wish we would have heard preaching like this back then. We did. We just didn't heed to it, right? So, when you look at our church, we're together for the most part. We're in a good place. Let's clap our hands.
Amen.
Our church is in a great place.
Amen.
Amen. Our church is in a great place. Literally, it is, right? Kids are excited. It's very, very, very rare that you see kids excited for the Lord now. Right? But we got kids up here seeking the Holy Ghost every service. Every service. They might not have it right now, but they up here every service. They dancing. See, that's that revival stuff right there. That's what we're talking about, right? This is the stuff that Sister Janice and everybody was praying for that they wanted to see, right? Well, Mama, it's happening, right? They dance and they worship and they praise, and guess what? We're going to keep moving. It don't matter what, because guess what? The revival and the word is going to come to fruition.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Paul said, man, I'm not going to give you credit and praise for division. And so when I read the scripture, I started thinking about when I was in the streets, gangbanging, right? We get together and we have, see me. Yes, Steve, see me.
I don't do those.
Well, that's my brother right there. I better not say nothing to him after that. That's my brother. We have these dumb meetings for what? I don't know. Not productive.
Right.
Not productive at all. Right? So what you think, right? Not productive at all. Get together. Bunch of dummies slap boxing. Somebody getting violated because, you know, who knows what was stupid they did. All of it's dumb.
Yeah.
Right? Violations. Few times they caught us up, let's buy this and own some property, but it never materialized because ain't none of them got no money. Ones who do got money, the ones that said to see me, just plot and take it from them, you know.
Right.
It's just a revolving circle. That it's stupid. It's dumb.
Right?
It's dumb. But what's good in it, though, is the fact that they can all come together on the same page, right? They can come together. I'm talking about all of them will be there. Big, little, baby, 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 no tiny, right? Every baby G, all of them are there.
Right.
And everybody be posted up, and it's nothing, right? So you be sitting there. So when I thought about it, I thought, you know, we hear the testimonies, which is revival, 30-day a week. Men do the same thing that women do. We all on the same page, right? But then the Lord says, the thing is the church is still in a place where they pick what they want. They pick and choose what they're going to eat.
Wow, wow, wow.
They ought to participate in everything. This ain't productive. See, what's productive is this. The devil can bring people together and do a bunch of nothing but still be effective, right? Yeah. But the devil is always going to congregate and be effective in his business and what he's doing. So if the devil can do it, why don't the church of God do it?
Come on. Right?
Yeah. See, the devil is calculated. He knows what he's going to get accomplished. But church people still sit, not realizing that there's work to do. And God needs you to get engaged. So hallelujah. Yeah. Paul says in verse 18, he says, "For in the first place, when you meet together in church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For doubtless they have to be factions among you, so that those who are approved of character may clearly be recognized above them, basically recognized among you." So what he was saying was, listen, I see that there are divisions among you because some of you are kind of uppity and you look at everybody else like they don't fit the bill. You look at everybody, oh, they too hood, I can't be around them. You know, Sister J, she too loud, she can get mad, that's not of God and she's the devil, I can't be around that. So check this out. This is how the irony of it, this is how this works out, right? Sister Yolanda, she's a disciplinary. She can be loud and she can be harsh. Right? Sister Stephanie's non-combative. She ain't trying to do that. She gonna pray. She might shed some tears, but she gonna pray about it because she's non-combative. Right? The problem is I heard this testimony today. It says, when you preach or you teach the word of God, don't teach it from your own personality or your own characteristics. Because the word of God is for everybody, right? So what happens is where the devil makes us, where the devil infiltrates and causes divisions and causes distractions, is to make her think that Sister Yolanda is not of God because she's not like me. I'm just using that as an example, right? See, that's what Paul was speaking to. See, there's divisions among you because some of you have put yourself on a pedestal and you think that you have a better way of moving than they. But let me explain something to you. I take no pleasure in that. Let me tell something to you. God created them like he created you. He created her to be harsh because sometimes somebody got to stand up and tell somebody about their business. But then there's sometimes somebody going to need to get in a prayer closet and start praying and fasting. There has to be balance. Jesus didn't go into the temple and say, hey, he didn't do that. He didn't go into the temple being nice to them and being uncombative, not being combative. He went in there, he turned some stuff over. He was mad. He went over, he knocked some stuff over, and he said, "Nah, you turned my house into a den of thieves. This is supposed to be a house of prayer." He was angry. There's a reason for it. We think that, oh, you gotta be a doormat and be stepped on, like you can't have a voice as a Christian. Yes, you can. But see, the problem is when you forget that you can. The problem is when you start judging the voice, and the problem is when you don't understand what God is doing, then you just need to just shut up and let God do what he has to do, but you stay together with your brother and your sister.
My God.
The word that same scripture in the original KJV, it says, "For there must be also heresies among you." See, I'm reading from the Amplified, but I had to go back to the KJV for this, right? He says, "For there must be also heresies among you." Who knows what a heresy is?
Sister Reese said false teacher. Who else?
A heresy is someone who makes the choice to bring forth disunion. Let me say it again. See, you're a heresy when you allow the devil to use you to cause disunion or division in the church. Right? You're a heresy when you're the one that's causing everybody to be divided. You're a heretic when you can't move in unity with the body. And guess what? In definition, in the original Greek, it says they make the choice to. Ooh, hallelujah. Right? They make a choice to be the source of disunion. But here's the second part of that definition. They do it to take to oneself. So that means they do it in selfishness. They do it because of the intention that they want for themselves. You see, you got the people that's just in church and they always got something to say, always got a testimony to give, always got something to do, always in the middle of people's businesses. Why? Because they're taking the credit one to themselves. They need the attention, not realizing that they're operating as a heretic. They've made it about themselves. And Paul is saying, listen, there's some selfish people that's in the church. And the opposite of selfishness is what? To give yourself willing. So when I stood back today, Brother Eric, I said, now we have a revival. The Lord told me to just sit still. Don't pray. Let them pray. Why? Because now they're giving themselves away instead of sitting in a spot just receiving and taking. Now they're going to work. They're not just sitting and doing nothing. Now they're going to lay hands on the sick that they might be healed. They're not just sitting and doing nothing. Now we're seeing the fruits of what the ministry should look like and what revival looks like.
Amen. Amen.
Paul said, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. If I approve of you, then you can be around me. I can't be your friend because I don't trust you, heretic. Guess what? When there's no fear, you don't have to worry about trusting somebody.
That's good. That's good.
You got something to say about me? Who cares? I ain't worried about it.
Amen.
My name in your mouth, so.
Amen.
Ain't the first, ain't going to be the last. Right? You know what? And guess what? On the flip side of that, I still got to be able to hug your neck. When I know that it was you. Yeah, I know you were speaking up on me, but I still love you. Yeah. Brother Sean listening to my thing here, yeah, right? Brother Sean looks like I'm getting here. I'm just playing. But it's work when you know somebody been talking about you.
Oh, yeah.
They still got to hug their neck. Work. Right. But you know why it happened? Huh? It happened so that God can teach you how to walk in unity.
That's good.
See, this is the thing. He said, don't separate the tares from the wheat. They got to grow up. Right? So that means that you're going to have to hug a few tares' neck before they become weak.
Yeah.
That means they come in with flaws. Yeah. That means they come in with issues. Yeah. But if you're afraid to deal with their issues, then you ain't really ready for revival. But when you're ready for revival, then you can help them deal with their issues. You can hug their neck because you know that your God is going to help them to overcome just like he did you. Paul said in verse 21, or 20, he said, so when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Right? Y'all come together as disunity. You're not really coming together to discern or to make it about Jesus. You're not doing this in remembrance of Jesus because you made it about you. Right? And so it's a double core. It's a double analogy, so to speak. Of course, you have the tangible things that we do symbolic of the breaking of Jesus' body, or the bread of life, which is Jesus, and the drinking of blood. We do communion on Easter, right? But there was a double piece. There was a double word. So he's saying we don't come together, or they weren't coming together, to discern the Lord's body anymore. And he's trying to put them back in order to get them where they need to be, right? But with us, he's saying, listen, you need to remember the sacrifice and the points that was made and what Jesus did so that we can stay effective, right? And then when you look at the scripture, he said, verse 20, when you meet together, it's not of the Lord's Supper. He says, for when you eat each other, one hurries to get his own supper first, not waiting for the others or the poor, considering one another. Why? So, I'm sorry, considering one another. And then he says, so one goes hungry while another gets drunk. So when I read this passage of scripture, I automatically, my mind went to this right here. And you guys did the opposite, but now it's going to be required of you, right? See, today when you was working, now I expect you to work.
Yeah.
And the reason why I expect you to work is because you're going to set the tone for revival. If you don't set the tone for a revival, there won't be any revival. You see, if you're afraid to worship your God while you're breaking bread and while you're remembering the blood of Jesus, if you're afraid to worship that, it's not going to create an atmosphere for people like Isaiah to come in and get the Holy Ghost, right? He came right to the front, got the Holy Ghost, right? It happened just like that because the environment was set. Paul said in verse 20, he says, going back, he says, so one hurries to get his own supper first, not waiting for the others or the poor, basically not considering one. So one goes hungry while another gets drunk. So when you look at that from a spiritual context, right? That means that we've been having a lot of people that's sitting in the church just getting full and getting drunk because you've been preached to for so long. But you also got to remember that you can only eat so much before you start regurgitating it. That means that you're going to have to become the one that's doing the giving. You're going to have to be the one that's being used by God, because there's something in you that has to come out, because whatever comes inside of you has to be emptied out so God can reveal you with something new, or else basically you just back and drunk. I was listening to a rabbi once upon a time. And he said, too much prayer, not enough studying your word, you're going to blow up. He said, too much reading your word with no prayer, you're going to blow up. But when you have the proper balance of reading your word and you have a prayer life, you're going to grow up.
Amen.
Right? It's always stuck with me. He says, you're going to grow up, because there has to be a balance, right? Unchecked motivations basically can lead you astray and cause you to be hitting all kind of stuff and not the mark that God intended for you to meet, right? Too much studying and thinking you know everything, but you don't have the prayer and have the confirmations to come with it, will cause you hitting walls and missing marks, right? Paul is saying, listen, you don't have a balance in the church anymore. And then when you keep going, he says, do you not have houses in which you eat or drink? Or you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those impoverished believers who have nothing? What will I say to you? Shall I praise you for this, or shall I not praise you? So I'm going back to a spiritual context, right? See, when you go home, you still have the word of God when you read it.
Yes, that's good.
Right? You still have the bread. You still got your bread when you get home.
Amen.
Now, I ain't talking about like our get-togethers and stuff, because I see people go to them and grab a bunch of food and throw it away and don't even eat it, just waste. Right? I'm not talking about tangible food now. I'm talking about that spiritual thing.
Yes, right.
Where you got enough.
Right.
And you can go home and get more when you pick up your Bible. You see, church is just an extension of what you should be doing every day.
Yes.
But see, he was saying, you can go home and still be fed. But while you're here, ooh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Let me just put it plain and simple. You see, when you go home, when you've been in church for a long time and you've had enough to eat, when you go home, that's when you eat, when you study at home and you're reading your word. But when you get to the church, when you start congregating, it's not time for you to be eating. It's time for you to be looking for those to help those that are spiritually impoverished. How does that look? Every time we do an altar call, the same people coming up here praying. You don't have to come up here and pray. If you've been praying at home and you've been studying at home, that means that when you come up here, you need to be looking for somebody that you're supposed to be praying for.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It happened today, though. It happened today. Amen. I was excited. I was like, oh, yeah, this is what it looked like. I don't have to have Brother Eric grab me by the hand like this. I'll be like, bro, don't you know I'm tired?
Come with me.
Come on.
That's it. Pray for her. Just pray for her.
I'll pray for her. Pray for her. Pray for her. I'll be like, Brother Eric. God love prayer, right? But see, when everybody's being moved by the Holy Ghost, when nobody left out, everybody's moving. Because guess what? The same Holy Ghost that's in Pastor Marquise is in you. Bible says, greater is he that's within me than he that is in the world. Right? So if he's greater than you, you ain't got to deal with no stuff and no crap from no devil.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
You only deal with it because you want to deal with it. deal with. You ain't got to deal with no stump and no crap from no devil. The only time you got to deal with it is when you make friends with it. You ain't got to deal with it. The Bible says that the weapon formed against you, it won't prosper. That's because you made a choice that it ain't going to prosper. Because you believe the word. But guess what? That weapon of prosper is you alive. You know what? Something coming against your house. Oh, well, let it come. It's going to happen, right? I just wrote a song. They said the weapon is forming. Oh, well, tell them to stock them up. I can serve a God. He got a bunch of angels. They ain't got enough. Right? See, when you got the Holy Ghost, you look like some demons. We call that riding tough.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
We call that riding tough.
I like that.
But you better know that Jesus said to him, if you ride with us.
Yeah.
For I received from the Lord himself that instruction, which I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he ate bread. Right? So that means that when the church is functioning the way that it's supposed to be, when we moving like we're supposed to and we in revival, right? You better look for a Judas. Now see, the error that was made before, this is the error that was made before, right? We let Judas come off the street and Judas was the influencer in the church. But see, when Judas come through them doors, we better have a whole body of believers that say, hey, we all on board. We just saw something that came in that ain't right. We collectively on the same page. So when they come through the door, we all pray in the same way. We all confront him the same way. We all love him the same way. When they come through the doors and it's not right. You see, that's how a soldier moves. You see, the lie from the devil is, oh, you're attacking him. No, I'm not. I ain't attacking nothing. I'm just putting everybody on notice. We got a war right there.
Yeah, right,
right? We all well. No, get out the way because your feelings is in the way. We understand that's your character. But Sister Yolanda, you know, hey, Sister Yolanda might need to be the one. Hey, you faking in front. You playing too much.
Yes.
That's the balance of the body. Your body don't always tell you silently and pleasantly that it's all kilter.
Yeah, that's good.
When you got a bad cold or you got a flu, it sit your butt down, right? And how you sit down, you be all. Your body tell you. It don't always speak pleasantly to you. Sometimes you can have a cold. It's just a little sniffle, but you can keep moving. But your body ain't going to always tell you pleasantly. So why do you think that inside of the real body of Christ that everything has to be delivered a certain way? He says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said this. This represents my body, which is offered as a sacrifice for you. Do this in affection and remembrance of me. In the same way, after your supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in affectionate remembrance of me. Right? Divisions in churches start when we forget who designed the church and what the church was for. The only reason why we can't love and we can't build, so on and so forth, is because we forget that principle. People who have a hard time letting stuff go is because you don't love right.
That's right.
It's plain and simple.
That's right.
If you can't let stuff go and you can't rub shoulders with somebody, something is wrong with the love.
Right.
When somebody come up to you and tell you you don't love right, don't come at it, go to prayer.
Yeah.
Right? Well, because if you love somebody, you're going to see the fruits manifest. The fruits manifested from love. You're going to see a love's reward. Right? But when you see bitterness, you're going to see a bitterness reward. Selfishness is the root to division. Amen? It's going to call, hey, this is all about me. My whole life is about me. When I get up, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to buy. This is what I want. I got to look like this. I got to see. Everybody got to see me like this. I got to look like I'm successful. I got to look like I could. Yes. That's attention to oneself, right? That's what Paul's talking about. Y'all got this status right here that you're trying to uphold, that you're trying to keep, right? But everybody can't rub shoulders with you because you're over there on an island all by yourself. And I don't like it. That's what Paul said. Then, when you keep reading that scripture, Going back to what Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. See, when you come to church and you break bread and you hear the word of God and you remember his blood and you remember the sacrifice that he made at Calvary, you're reliving it all over again every time you come to the service as often as you can. It wasn't just him saying, break this bread and just eat it on Easter. He was saying, do this every time you come to the church. When you get to church, you remember who the bread of life is. When you get to church, you remember my blood and my sacrifice. When you get to church, don't make it about yourself. Make it about me. And as long as you do that, everything's going to be okay. Stand with me. See, as the musicians make their way up, when you skip down to verse 29, this is what Paul said was the source to why people have sicknesses, people have diseases, and why they die, right? He says, for anyone who eats and drinks without solemn reverence and a heartfelt gratitude towards the sacrifice of Jesus, he eats and drinks in judgment on himself if he does not recognize the body of Christ, right? That carelessly and unworthily participate in the reason, or is the reason, why many among you are weak and sick in the number sleep and death. Paul was saying, you coming into the church and playing around. Y'all gotta catch that right there. You coming into the church and playing around and not taking this thing seriously. You coming into the church and not remembering what the church was designed for and who it's about can not only cause you to backslide, can not only cause you to become sick in your body, can also lead to premature death. And when I stop and I start looking at our body, I ain't gonna mention no names, but when y'all for real, you stop and you think about the people that God had removed from the body, it was a couple of things that was always in play. Just think about it for a minute, right? Everybody, some of you can name names right off the top of your head, right? But when you think of them, they all have one thing in common. They didn't want to repent. Not only did they not want to repent, they instituted division. They made the church about themselves. And then the Lord has to uproot them and remove them because of their unwillingness to cooperate and the function within the body where he's trying to usher us into revival and unity. It's like he reaches in and he dissects that one thing. Bishop Hale told me a long time ago the biggest mistake that he made was separating tares from the wheat. Because they all, we're going to have them come through, but they all have the space to repent. They all have the space to get it together if they want to. But see, the problems that we've had in the past is when they come in and they all messed up or they got these issues, we got church people trying to rub shoulders with them and be cool, and I ain't going to get into all of the extra, instead of staying on the front saying, you know what, we got a new person in here. Let me not jump all on them because I'm making this thing about myself. I'm going to go on and say it. When they start coming through, that's not your husband or your wife. When they start coming through, don't be trying to lure them in your bed. When they come through, go to a prayer closet.
Yes, yes.
And you start praying for their soul.
Yes.
Because let me tell you something. If their soul ain't right, then they ain't right for you. We have people that came in here with the purpose and the intent of just running through the women in the church. Wow. And it happens. All because women, don't, like the Bible said, they don't realize that they're... That's why I said let the young women learn from the old women.
Yes.
Because they'll teach you how to be ladylike.
Yes.
Not running from them because you're scared they're going to tell you something or you're trying to keep a secret. You see, he gave us instructions so we can have a healthy body. But see, this is the thing. When the warning goes forth, the weapon is formed. But see, what happens is this time around, when they start coming in and it starts happening, when it happens this time, God is going to judge them. When you read the rest of the scripture, listen to what it says. He He says, if we evaluated and judged ourselves honestly, recognizing our own shortcomings and correcting our behavior. Did you catch that? That means I'm taking accountability to what I feel. I'm taking accountability for my actions, and I'm saying, I feel like this right now. It's not right, so I need you to step in and pray for me, my sister or my brother, so that I can move the right way. And he says, you have the power to correct that yourself. And then he goes on and says, but when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined by undergoing his correction so that we will not be condemned to eternal punishment along with this world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat the Lord's Supper, wait for one another and see to it that no one is left out. You can be the reason why they come through the door and go right back out. Or you can be the reason why they come and they sit and they thrive and they help in ushering in the biggest revival the church will ever see. You got to get on the side and stay on, because the church can't be about you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We're thankful for your commitment and your affection towards us. We thank you, Father, for your blood. We thank you, Father, for your bread, which is you, the word of life, Lord. We know that you were the Word manifest in flesh. You died on Calvary for, our sins, Lord. And you elevated, Father, to sit on the throne of power, Father. You live in us today as the Holy Ghost, Jesus. And we love you, Father, for the commitment that you've made towards us. We thank you, Father, that when the weapon is formed, Lord, you don't allow it to prosper. We walk in obedience to you. We thank you, Father, for being the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord, for your commitment to your church. We thank you, Father, for even dying and starting the church. We don't know what we would do without the church. You see, some of you, you came in here today and you was feeling some kind of way. But see, when the words got to speaking and they got to singing those songs, you just came in and you're not going to leave the same way today. You see, that's the power of the church. It's something about the name of Jesus being mentioned in song and praise and believing the word when it's preached that can change your life and can begin the metamorphosis to give you the greatest things, to manifest the greatest things in your life that you've ever seen.
Thank you, Jesus.
But see, you recognize that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
And always remember that.
Yes.
Jesus, you are my God.
You are my God, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You are my God, Jesus. We believe that you're Alpha. We believe that you're Omega. We believe that you was the beginning and the end, which is, which was, which is to come. You are the Almighty Jesus. And we're looking for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You see, we already had an altar call through the worship. That's the beautiful thing. But these altars are still open. These altars are still open. If you need to spend some time in prayer, these altars are still open. If you need to repurpose or dedicate yourself to the Lord again, these altars are still open.